Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks. Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation
with Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 8 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is program 211 in a series. It's September 2nd, and to my right, the very dimply, Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
What's up, Carl?
How are you? It's good
to
see you.
Thank you. You too.
I saw you this week already once.
When I know. We came isn't that down, enough, right?
Came down here for our WGN meeting, so I saw you Saturday and
meeting?
Sunday.
What would we need
saw
anything
you
for
Thursday
a
for our meeting. Now I'm seeing you again.
It's
what a
lot
lucky
of Lisa.
Guy. I'm a lucky guy.
Lucky.
And we have classic radio shows for our listeners. We have, of course, Shante Garth, our producer in the booth, and we have a special guest. I'll tell you who that is in just a moment, but we have Gangbusters. We have the Martin and Lewis Show, a little special salute and tribute to Jerry Lewis, and also their guest is Debbie Reynolds on this show, so we'll have sort of a double salute to two people we lost this year. And then Bob Hope stars in the Screen Directors Playhouse with the Ghost Breakers. We'll be here till 2 o'clock in the morning. So make sure you're with us for classic radio, and it's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming action movie American Assassin, about an investigation of attacks on both military and civilian targets.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for this. It looks really, really good.
It does. It looks like your kind of movie. And the winner gets two tickets to the 39 Steps, which is playing at the Mackinac Arts
Center. Alfred Hitchcock
in Glen Ellen.
Film.
Exactly.
This is
well,
a
based on the 1935. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Cool. All right, Alfred Hitchcock. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Birdman.
I'm broke. I'm not sleeping, like, you know, at all. And this play kind of starting to feel like a miniature, deformed version of myself.
Okay.
Did you know I met him?
No, but don't say who it is.
I wouldn't do that.
All right. You met him, huh?
I had lunch with him.
Wow.
One day.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very nice. All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Who is that amazing actor? Give us a call. Win some tickets to see the 39 Steps. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. This is the WGN Radio Theater. This is show 211, if you can believe it.
Wow.
That's a lot of shows. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
I'm broke. I'm not sleeping, like, you know, at all. And this play kind of starting to feel like a miniature, deformed version of myself.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. Good to hear from you.
Well, I got the answer for that. It's Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton is exactly right. We are so happy to give you this great prize. You get two tickets to the 39 Steps. It's playing September 7th through October 8th at the Mackinac Arts Center in Glen Ellen. Of course, this is Buffalo Theater Ensemble's production. It's based on Alfred Hitchcock's 1935 thriller. And it sounds exciting. It's got 50 characters played by four actors. So it should be a lot of fun. Let us know how great the show is. You can get tickets at themac.org. So thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for starting off our show 211 tonight.
I love the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, you, David.
Appreciate it. And Dave's a big winner. And guess what, Lisa?
What, Carl?
We have a text in line. Listeners, if you want to send us a text, if you have any questions about the show, if you want to find out Lisa's latest movie that she's in or what Bentley she's driving tonight, because she has four or five of them, just text us, 312-981-7200. That's the text in line, 312-981-7200. And if you want to request a classic radio show, we'll play them.
Yeah, I am watching the text line. I try to get back to as many people as I can, and we love to talk to you during the show live as it's going on. We also have a Facebook page, WGN Radio Theater. We hope that you'll like us and post, and we will post, and so we can stay connected throughout the show.
All right. And before we get into our first classic radio show in just a few minutes, which will be Gangbusters from 1948, I want to welcome to the microphone my good friend, Steve Darnall. Hey, Steve.
Hello.
How are you, my friend?
Good, Carl. How are you?
Now, people listening to the show should know who Steve is, because Steve also hosts a classic radio show. It's on another station. Mm-hmm. It's in Chicago. Just type in Steve's. We can say what it is. It's WDCB, correct? 90.9. And he's on Saturday mornings. Saturday afternoon. Sorry, 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. I know because I listen all the time. He's
Bless
on WDCB, and he has a radio show called Those Were the Days. Tell us a little bit about the show.
Well, Those Were the Days, of course, began back in 1970. With Chuck Shaden, who is sort of the godfather of Midwestern.
He definitely
old
is.
Time. Yes.
I used to listen to him all the time.
And Chuck hosted the show for 39 years, which to him seemed like a perfect number as a radio fan.
Right.
And when he decided to retire, there was talk about ending the show, and somehow he was convinced that it should stay on the air, and stranger still, that I should host it. So I'm in the start of my ninth year now.
Wow.
Yes.
It's been 9 years.
Yes.
And you do a fantastic job.
Thank
Steve
you. You
really, really knows his classic radio. And I listen to the show, and I learn stuff by listening to your show, my friend. I really, really do.
I'm grateful.
And, you know, we've known each other a long time, and I've always been a fan of what I'm holding in my hand right here. This is the Nostalgia Digest. Now, Chuck started this digest.
Again, yes, back in 1974.
43 years ago.
Yes.
Okay, so this magazine, which is a 64-page magazine, comes out 4 times a year, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
The Nostalgia Digest is just filled with articles about the golden age of radio, television, movies, and music. Folks, if you are not a subscriber to Nostalgia Digest, as I say, 4 times a year it comes out, you are missing out. It is a fantastic digest-size magazine, and it's all about what we love, the classic radio shows. But Steve and I have put together a little venture, right? And I'm very excited about it.
Yes, same here.
Because, folks, if you subscribe, if our listeners, WGN listeners, subscribe to the Nostalgia Digest, or any listeners, I mean anyone listening,
sure,
could subscribe to it, if they sign up for 2 years... Now, 1 year is $17, 2 years is $30. You get a savings, mm-hmm. $30 for 8 issues over 2 years. You will receive, if you type in WGN when you subscribe online, if you type in WGN, you will receive a $27.99 value Twilight Zone CD set, and it has 4 CDs in it. So you pay $30 for the 2 years of Nostalgia Digest sent right to your home,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get a $27.99 value CD set of the Twilight Zone if you type in WGN. It's a great offer. But here's something even better. Even better, Lisa.
That's right.
You know what it is?
I sure do.
What is it?
Well, in the magazine, there's a couple of notable items, one of which is the WGN Radio Theater schedule, which goes all the way through the end of the year.
Right.
So you don't have to wonder what's coming up this every week. Mm-hmm. I do post it week by week, but if you want a little advance notice and figure out what shows you most appreciate, mm-hmm. you can check it out right here, Nostalgia Digest. We are going to post a picture of this on our Facebook page so you can get a little peek at it. And there's also another exciting thing in
here.
Oh,
yeah, we're promoting my book.
We're
I have a book that's coming
book
out.
That's mm-hmm.
but that's,
I was going to say it.
That's
but...
not as important as the Nostalgia Digest. Digest and signing up for it. Folks, do go to nostalgiadigest.com. That's the website, right, Lisa?
Yeah. And
right,
we're,
Steve?
Absolutely.
We
yes.
are going to post that information on our Facebook as well. So if you weren't listening when Carl talks, like I don't usually either, you can check our Facebook page and you can get the website. You can get an idea of what the magazine looks like. And you can get a little photo of our friend Steve here. And kind of brings it all, makes it all very homey.
Tell people why they should subscribe to this magazine. Tell them about what's in this great magazine, Steve.
Well, I'm biased, Carl. As you said, it's a magazine about the things that we love. It's got the schedules for our respective radio shows, It's got articles about radio, but beyond that, it's just got articles about the era. So if you're a fan of the golden age of movies, if you're a fan of early television, if you're a fan of music from the 30s or 40s or 50s, you will typically find articles pertaining to those subjects in any given issue. And of course, we've always taken the philosophy that each article in an issue should be different from the one before it, just like each issue should be different from the one before it. So you can have an article about Charlie Chaplin and the comedy stars of 1917 right before the article about the Inner Sanctum radio show, you know, right before the article about the movies of Otto Preminger.
Oh, yeah, this is cool. There's Otto Preminger. There's also a whole article on Mr. Radio, Elliot Lewis.
Elliot Lewis,
and,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just I've always enjoyed the magazine. Mike, kudos to you because
I know
Chuck Shaden started this, but you are now the publisher of this and editor and all that. And you have great writers. And your schedule for your Those Were the Days radio series, the schedule is in there as well. So your schedule and now our schedule is part of the magazine.
And I have to say one thing, which is, you know, you were kind enough to send the schedule for the WGN Radio Theater for us to include. And I was really impressed that I don't think there's any overlap.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think that at any point in Halloween or Christmas that we're playing the same show on
that's
the same
terrific.
Day. So
that's terrific.
Good for you.
Oh,
all.
Well, that worked out for our listeners.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, I made that happen.
Well done.
I was
done.
Really
Thank
careful,
you.
Did my research, and we don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Right, no, so real quick, I'm going to just recap what we
yes.
are talking about here. The Nostalgia Digest, it's a 64-page magazine. You can go to nostalgiadigest.com. Remember, a one-year subscription, four issues, is $17. But you really want to subscribe for 2 years because 2 years is only $30. You save some money, and you will receive a four CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, a $27.99 value, absolutely free when you subscribe. But you have to write in WGN in the ordering instructions. So go to Nostalgia Digest, order 2 years, pay $30, get eight issues. Put WGN in, and when you get your first issue, Steve will also send you a four CD set of the Twilight Zone radio drama. So, Steve, thanks so much for joining me on this. We want to spread classic radio
Absolutely.
All over the world, right?
I got to say, I'm thrilled at how much classic old-time radio there is in this city. It's
yeah.
remarkable.
Well, Chuck Shaden is one of the reasons why.
Indeed.
Because he really launched it all here. So
and thanks for the chance
him.
To talk about Nostalgia Digest
you got
and NostalgiaDigest.com.
And tune in to Steve's show on Saturdays on WDCB as well. All right. Well, right now it is time for Gangbusters. This was a great series. It was the loudest show in radio, right, Steve? I mean, it was like machine guns, and it woke you up. If you were starting to fall asleep.
Which, and at 11:20, that's worth mentioning.
Well, you're going to get woken up right now.
This is the show that this is why people tell people you're coming on
like
Gangbusters.
That's right. Yeah. It's still in the lexicon
Absolutely.
All these years. All right, June 12th, 1948. This is called The Case of the Park Avenue Pilferers. This stars Arnold Moss, part one of Gangbusters.
Now, Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories.
Tonight, Gangbusters presents the case of the Park Avenue Pilferers, the burglar king and queen who looted New York City's most luxurious apartments, but have finally got stuck on a dab of wax.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable John J. Sullivan, former Chief of Detectives and Deputy Commissioner, New York City Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Welcome back to Gangbusters, Chief Sullivan.
Thank you, Don Gardner. But before we get started, I think everyone should know that the alertness of another Gangbusters listener has resulted in the capture of a badly wanted criminal.
Yes, Chief Sullivan. Yesterday, a young woman, Mrs. June Cullender of Des Moines, Iowa, recognized Kaz Robert Henderson, a fugitive from Seattle, Washington, through a description of tattoos broadcast in a Gangbusters clue. The fugitive is now in a Des Moines jail, awaiting return to Seattle. We hope to have Mrs. Cullender on the Gangbusters program next week to tell everyone of her experience. Now, about tonight's case, Chief Sullivan. Just before we went on the air, you told me that the gunman type of criminal is actually less troublesome to police than the smooth operator.
Yes, Don Gardner. But brains or brawn, criminals usually have one common characteristic, and that is greed. To show you what I mean, suppose we begin in New York City a few years ago. It was after 4 o'clock in the morning, and the lobby of one of the city's most fashionable Park Avenue hotels was deserted, except for the housemen who were busy cleaning the floors and furniture. The handsome but slightly tipsy young man in top hat and white tie who walked across the lobby toward the desk didn't distract the workers. They had seen too many of the type.
One side, peasants, one side. Make way for the king. Make way for the king. Clear the king's highway. The key to the royal bedchamber, if you please.
Good morning, Mr. Carr.
My key, if you please.
Yes, sir. 432 key.
The royal bedchamber.
I'm sorry, Mr. Carr, there's no key in the box.
No key? Well, that's perfectly ridiculous, man. There must be a key.
Perhaps, sir, your wife took them both upstairs with her by mistake.
Ah, you have hit the solution. I shall reward you handsomely. But it wasn't by mistake. Queen merely wants to see at what time the king arrives home from his rendezvous with the dancing girls.
That appears to be the answer, Mr. Carr.
And I shall pound upon the door with the fury of a Henry seeking entrance to the boudoir of Anne Boleyn. Good night, my loyal vassal.
Oh, Mr. Carr,
you speak?
Perhaps I could send a bellman up with a passkey.
Ah, a noble plan. I'll reward you twofold.
Front boy.
We shall foil the plot of the wicked queen. See? One of my grenadiers in uniform approaches.
Ah, yes, sir?
Boy, take the passkey up and let Mr. Carr into 432.
Ah, yes, sir. After you, sir.
Oh, I am not above my offices. We shall walk arm in arm.
Yes, sir.
Ooh!
You have to watch it, sir. Watch it.
Rough terrain.
Kind of a rough night, too, huh?
Rough. Absolutely wild.
Mm. Now, watch your step getting on the elevator there.
Yes, I shall reward you handsomely also.
Four.
Handsome chariot. Rise, rise, rise to the heights.
Yeah, only to the fourth floor, sir.
Oh, well, well spoken, lad.
Mm, I know. You shall reward me twofold.
Ah, tenfold.
Okay, King, let's go. In yon direction, King.
You know, it's a wonder how I can feel so good and so bad all at the same time.
Well, it's no wonder to me, King.
Shh. We approach.
Okay. Shh.
Try the key gently, lest we awaken the queen.
Mm. She's got the double lock on, Kingy. You're out of luck.
Shh.
It's okay.
Ah, ha, ha. Bully, lad, bully.
Okay, watch your step, King. I'll get the light.
Have a noble gesture, my...
Uh-oh. The queen is in the parlor.
Well, Andrew, are you dressed to go out tonight or last night?
We're just out for a walk around the block, my dear. Oh, excuse me.
Andrew!
Well, how do you like that?
Do something.
Well, he's only passed out, lady.
Well, do something quick.
Well, he's got to sleep it off.
Oh, Andrew, speak to me.
He'll be all right.
Run and get some ice quick.
Yeah, but lady,
run and get some ice.
Yeah, all right. He'll be okay. Don't worry.
Andrew, speak to me. Speak to me.
Hi, baby.
Like a child.
Did he leave the key in the door?
Yeah.
Grab it fast.
Neat trick, Andy.
How about the wax?
Got it.
Okay, now let's get busy. We've got about a minute to make an impression of that key before he gets back. 50 grand, this ought to be good for. At least 50 grand.
Oh, it was a real neat trick, Andy.
Talent, baby, talent. That's all it takes.
Hello?
Lieutenant Hanson?
Yeah?
Well, this is Will.
Will?
A bellhop at the Park Edge.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry if I woke you, but you said call any time, so I'm calling.
That's all right, Will. What's up?
I think I got some information for you, Lieutenant.
Oh?
Yeah. I think a guy registered here got a wax impression of the passkey. The key looked like it had some wax left on it. Shall I light a match to it? And
no,
try
No. We'll take care of that. You know who it was, Will?
Yeah, a guy named Andrew Carr in 432. He's supposed to be from Chicago. He looked like a phony to me. The minute I saw him, he looked phony.
All right, Will, just take it easy. Just tell me what happened.
Well, he walks into the lobby a little after four. Loaded, see? Or making like he was loaded.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up to the desk and asks for his key. But there's no key in the box, see? So the clerk gets the pass key and has me take
it. All right, that's the first portion of Gangbusters from June 12, 1948. The Case of the Park Avenue Pilferers, starring Arnold Moss.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
WGN Radio and WGN TV have partnered with the American Red Cross to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 or go to redcross.org to donate more.
All right. We are listening to Gangbusters. This is a good show from 1948. Let's get back to it right now.
Andy, you finished shaving?
Yeah, baby.
Breakfast here. I poured the coffee.
Yeah, well, I'm ready. Oh, what a life. Room service, class galore.
Well, it ought to be good at $20 a day.
Well, every enterprise has got to have its investment, baby. This one will pay off. What, the cherry off my grapefruit?
Thank you.
Yeah, I hate to leave this comfort. Oh, takes this grapefruit.
Then we're checking out today?
Well, we got what we came after, didn't we? This trip, I mean. That little piece of wax is worth $50,000 at least. Pass the sugar, will you?
Yeah.
After breakfast, I want you to take that wax down to Harry and let him make up the key.
Okay.
Then we'll try it on our door here before we check out. You know, it's too bad, baby.
What's too bad?
It's too bad we just can't back a truck up to the hotel. As long as we're going to clean the place out, we might as well do a good job.
Oh, honest, Andy. Aren't you ever satisfied?
Satisfied? We're on the gravy train, baby. Nobody ever had a sweeter racket.
Well, I think we just ought to enjoy things a little bit.
Well, what's the matter? Aren't you enjoying yourself now? Breakfast in your room? What else do you want?
They only have to get us once. That's all. Just once.
Don't worry about it, baby. It gives you wrinkles. How could it be safer? Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Carr of Chicago check out today. The hotel forgets about us. In a couple of weeks, if a few of the suites here are burglarized, nobody gets a connection. Well, eggs a la Wren. Now, isn't that a nice way to start the day?
Lieutenant Hanson. Oh, hello, Chief. Well, I'd say it looks pretty good. We put a surveillance on the... Oh, come in, Ryan. Ryan just walked in, Chief. If anything looks hot, I'll call you back. So long.
Hiya, boss.
That was the chief calling from downtown.
He's anxious, huh?
Well, after about 50 apartment house and hotel room burglaries, wouldn't you be anxious, too?
I am anxious. But I won't be for long.
You think they're right, huh?
Right as a two-story flat in Elmhurst.
Good, let's have it.
They're registered under the names of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew Carr, Chicago. Mm-hmm. I call Chicago. There's no such address as the one they give on Michigan Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
He stayed in the room this morning, and she went out. I put Adler to following her.
And?
The lady went over to Lexington Avenue, down into the subway station, took the local to Grand Central, and changed for an express. She got off at Canal Street and went upstairs. She turned the corner into Lafayette, went into a hardware store. A hardware store owned by one Harry Nelson.
Anything on Nelson?
The safe and loft squad knows him. He did 2 to 5 in Sing Sing for unlawful entry.
Hmm.
Picked up 4 times on suspicion of receiving since. Each case dismissed in felony court for want of evidence.
You think friend Harry is making their pass keys from the wax molds?
I'd venture a guess.
Did she wait for the key?
Apparently not. She wasn't in there more than 5 minutes. As soon as Adler called me, I sent Sherman down to maintain a surveillance at the hardware store.
What about the girl?
She hopped in a cab and went to Saks Fifth Avenue. Adler stayed right behind her. She took the elevator to the beauty parlor where she now reposes.
And Adler?
He reposes there, too. He just phoned me. The girl's a regular customer of the Saks beauty parlor. She's known to them as Mrs. Mona Davis of 1642 Buchanan Avenue, the Bronx, from which address she has a charge account, pays her bills regularly.
All right, send somebody to take over from Adler.
Okay.
I want him to check around that Bronx address.
Okay, boss. Well, looks like we got a line on the right people, huh?
Maybe.
Maybe? What are they doing checked into the hotel with a phony name and a phony Chicago address? What does she visit a shady hardware guy for? It all adds up?
No. Keep them under surveillance, Ryan. We can't walk in on these people and arrest them for burglary with just this to go on. We've got to nail them with some of the goods on them. Otherwise, we've got no case.
Okay, boss. Say, that's a pretty smart kid, this bellhop, huh?
Oh, yes, yes. That reminds me of something I want to do.
What?
I want to see the manager of that hotel again. I want to see if we can get a few of our people onto the staff there for a couple of days. They might not try to use that pass key for a few weeks, but I want somebody on the inside just in case. Come on, let's go.
Right with you, boss.
So, Don, the detectives came across a bit of information that was soon to develop into a case against the suspects. But many days of patient waiting were in store for the police before a lost trail and a train whistle would bring the end of the case into view.
You were telling us, Chief Sullivan, that several teams of detectives were put to work gathering all sorts of information on Andy and Mona.
That's right, Don. And by the time the suspects checked out of their hotel late that afternoon, Lieutenant Hansen already knew more about the couple than they knew about each other. In an effort to catch them in the act of committing burglary, skillfully operating detectives were close behind when Andy and Mona left their permanent apartment in the Bronx early the next morning and rode downtown in a taxicab. Still other detectives watched the cab pull up in front of Harry's hardware store and saw Mona get out alone and walk into the store.
Hello, Harry.
Mona, sweetheart.
Is it ready, Harry?
Sure, baby, it's ready.
All right, let's have it.
That's no reason to be in a hurry, sweetheart. Let's talk it over.
But I told you, Andy's waiting.
Andy's been on the gravy train too long. You go out and tell him this keel cost him $5.
$5?
In plain language, sweetheart, $500.
That's ridiculous.
Ridiculous? What good would you two be without me to make them keys? You wouldn't be no good at all. Now go out and tell Andy.
Harry, please.
You can't soft soap me, sweetheart. I know where the body's buried. Without $5, no key, no mold, no hat full of jewelry.
Harry, you better not.
Okay, hold it. Customer.
Good morning. Have you got any...
Just a minute, mister. The ladies first.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, lady. That's the only size we got.
Well, I'll see if it's okay with my husband. He's right outside.
Yeah, you do that.
I'll be right back.
Okay, mister?
May I like to see a lock?
There's all kinds of locks.
Where for my tool shed?
Oh. Maybe I get something. Maybe. Take your pick. Prices are marked.
Two and a half for this one?
That's what it's marked, ain't it?
Oh, a lot for a lock, seems.
There's
to
other locks there, better, cheaper. Look them over.
Yeah, thanks. Oh.
Go on, Mona.
I brought my husband with me.
I still ain't got the size you want.
Well, let's see what you do have.
Hey, how much is this lock, mister?
The price is marked on it.
Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now you look the locks over, mister. I got to show these people some merchandise.
Yeah, go right on. I got plenty of time.
This way, please, lady.
Maybe I can use the size you showed my wife, if the price is right.
In here.
Thank you.
All right, Harry. What's this about $500?
You want the key? That's what it'll cost you.
Give me back my mold.
I meant to tell you, Andy, the mold got ruined in making the key. First time it ever happened to me.
You little swindler. I ought to...
Andy.
Business is business, Andy.
Now, listen to me. You think you're getting away with this larceny act? Think again.
Andy, you got a sweet little racket. Who knows how much you clean up? But it wouldn't be worth a nickel without me or somebody like me to make the keys. So I figure I'm entitled to some consideration. Not a lot, just $5 worth.
Let's get out of here, Andy. Forget it.
Forget nothing. No cheap hustler's gonna take me over the coals.
If you want the key, Andy, consider yourself took.
All right, Harry. You've got your $5. But it's the last business we ever do.
Lieutenant Hansen.
Ryan, boss.
Yes, Ryan. Let's have it.
They flagged a cab in front of their pop and rode down to the hardware store. I went inside to buy a lock. Looks like they had a little bit of trouble with Harry.
What kind of trouble?
I think he tried to hold him up with a key.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like he got away with it. He was in a pretty good mood when he came back to wait on me. Hey, you know, boss, you got some bargains down there in Locks. I picked up a neat one for $1.98.
Ryan, where'd they go from there?
Yeah, this is a sort of a... Oh, yeah, well, they had a cab waiting. Adler and Mackey are behind them. I told Mackey to keep on top of the couple and Adler to bring in the cab driver when they drop him.
Okay. You get yourself in here, Ryan. I want to talk to you.
Go up Fifth, driver.
Yeah.
Let us off on the corner of 57th.
I got you.
Look, Andy, as long as we're leaving town, we ought to get rid of the stuff.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Andy, listen to me, will you? We're leaving town. Why don't we wait until we go to Florida or someplace before we try to sell any more of that stuff? It's too dangerous here in New York.
You think we're going to travel on air?
Oh, we've got cash. Plenty of cash. You know we have.
I got to make up that $500. Now, remember, when we get in the jewelers, the ring is an heirloom. Your grandmother left it to you.
Okay. Well, at least we're leaving. That's something.
Sure, we're leaving. After I do a little more business.
Andy, you're not thinking of going back to the hotel before we leave. The key will be just as good when we get back.
In 3 months, the hotel could burn down.
But, Andy, it was only yesterday we checked out. They'll remember us.
Well, I'm only thinking about it, baby. That's all. Just thinking about it.
Okay, boss. I sent Wallach over to the jewelry store to pick up the ring.
Good boy. Well, the best I can make out, it came out of the Central Park South job, Mrs. Weston.
Mrs. Weston will be delighted, not to mention her insurance company.
Mm-hmm. As soon as the ring gets here, call Mrs. Weston to come down and see if it's hers, huh?
Sure. Well, at least that gives us a receiving and concealing charge against them.
I don't want them for any 1 to 2, Ryan. We'll stay with it until we can nail them for first-degree burglary at least.
Well, if you got nothing else, boss, take what you got.
Besides, we might have trouble making a receiving charge stick. They can claim they bought the ring from a friend, they found it on the street, anything. This Andy character knows the ropes.
He should, with his record.
When we get them, let's get them good. Then we...
Busy, Lieutenant.
Well, come on in, Adler.
I got the hacky outside. Hi, Ron.
Adler.
Did you get anything out of him?
He couldn't hear their conversation while they were driving. The hack's a 1942 job. Yeah, they're about as quiet as Ebbets Field on payday. Well, when they stop down there at the hardware store, she goes in by herself.
Yeah, I saw her.
Well, she comes out right away. Driver hears her tell Andy he wants $500 for the key.
Oh, so it was that.
Andy about blows his top. He tells the hacky to wait.
Wait a minute. Lieutenant Hanson. Oh, hello, Mackie. Where? That's so. To where, do you know? All right, stick with them. I'll send Adler over to meet you. Don't let them get away. We're coming down to the wire.
Where's it, boss?
They're buying railroad tickets.
To where?
He doesn't know yet. They're waiting in line to be called. Adler.
Yeah, Lieutenant.
Get down to the Consolidated Ticket Office, 47th Street. Mackey says there's a big line. They'll be there another 10 minutes at least.
Right.
You and Mackey stay with them. Okay, get going.
What about the cab driver?
Ask him to wait. I'll talk to him in a minute.
Right, sharp. I'll call, Lieutenant.
Okay.
Well, boss?
Well, yourself.
If they get on the train, there goes your beautiful case right out the window.
Well, maybe the tickets are for 2 weeks from now. Who knows? Andy's got a lot of money invested in that key.
I know guys that keep pass keys in their pockets for months before they drive them. Now, if they're going to Florida or someplace and you want me to stick close to them, I'll just get my fishing tackle out of the attic, throw a few things in the
suitcase. They're not going anyplace.
No, huh?
No. If they do a job, we got them. Otherwise, we'll pull them off the train and try to stick them with the receiving and concealing charge.
Thought you didn't want them for 1 to 2, boss.
Well, it's a lot better than nothing. Come on. Let's talk to that cab driver.
Lieutenant?
Yes?
Adler, Mackie and I are at Penn Station.
Already?
They must not want to miss that train. They checked their bags and then went into the restaurant.
Well, all right. Stay on top of them, Adler. Ryan and I will be down to help with the pinch just before the train pulls out.
Gotcha, Lieutenant. Wait a minute. There's Mackie outside the booth. Hold on just a minute. What?
Adler.
Lieutenant, we lost them.
You what?
Mackie says they ducked out of the restaurant. Went into the subway station going uptown. The door's closed before he could make it.
All right, get this. Have Mackie stick there. Tell him to get out the bags they checked and go through them. You hop in a cab and meet me at the entrance to the Park Edge Hotel in 10 minutes. You got that?
Yep, I'll see you.
Ryan. Sergeant Ryan.
What's up, boss?
Come on, let's go.
Sure, where?
I think Andy and Mona are on their way to make the hotel.
You're kidding.
They've got an hour and a half before the train leaves, and Andy's just the kind of a guy who doesn't let grass grow under his feet.
Huh? Here's what we're after, baby.
Gee, it's gorgeous.
We'll see. Bracelet alone is worth $10,000. Okay, let's go. Hope these people are having a nice time at the theater. They're sure not going to be happy when they get home. Hold it.
Okay.
Open the door, take a look in the hall, then head for the stairs. We'll go up a flight and take room 423.
Andy, please. We'll miss our train.
Open the door, baby.
Looks okay. Please, Andy, enough's enough. We've only got a few minutes.
Okay, okay. We'll take the elevator and get on out. All right.
Andy, we're back here too soon. Much too soon for me.
What's the matter with you? In 2 minutes, we'll be out of the front door and on our way to Florida. This was one of the best yet.
The elevator.
Humphrey.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, that's quite all right.
We don't have much time, dear.
Well, don't worry, darling. We'll make the train.
Trains run on standard time, you know, not daylight savings.
Yes, we know. Thank you very much.
Main lobby.
Go on, honey.
I hope we're not spotted by any of the help that knows us.
Don't worry about it. Just head for the street for a cinch.
Evening, Mr. Carr.
Oh, Andy.
Quiet. Hello there.
I remember me. The bellhop that fixed you up that night. Boy, were you a mess. A royal mess. How you been feeling okay lately?
Oh, yes, yes. Fine, young man.
Oh, I thought you'd be back in Chicago by now.
Well, we flew up to Boston and back. We just stopped by to see some friends between planes.
Oh, well, have a good trip. You too, lady.
Thank you. We will.
Come on, dear. Good night.
Good night. And watch your step, Your Majesty.
Yes. Good night.
Thanks a lot, Will.
Well, Lieutenant. Hey, they're going out the door. They'll get away.
I don't think so. Reception committee is waiting.
Oh, good. I was worried for a second.
Confidentially, it's better evidence if we arrest them after they leave the building with the stolen goods. Well, I want to be in on this.
Yeah, me too. Can I?
Why not? It's your case. Come on.
Yes, sir. I'm right with you.
That, Don, was how these slick jewel thieves were finally arrested with the goods. It was the result of diligent and patient police work following a tip from an observant citizen. Nearly $250,000 of loot was recovered from the persons of these thieves and from the bags they had checked at Penn Station. It was all returned to the rightful owners, and the criminals were given maximum terms to serve in New York State institutions.
Well, thank you, Chief Sullivan, for this extraordinary case history. And gangbusters, congratulations to all the detectives who participated in the investigation and arrests. Tonight's case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by William Sweets, with Arnold Moss and Les Damon in leading roles. Don Gardner speaking. Gangbusters is a Phillips H. Lord production.
The announcer on that had a green thumb. It was Don Gardner. He was very, very good in The Garden, Lisa.
I assumed that.
That is Gangbusters from June 12th, 1948, The Case of the Park Avenue Pilferers, starring Arnold Moss. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's much more here on the WGN Radio Theater.
Smile Great reminds listeners that readers are leaders, and education in the home is every bit as important as in school. When we encourage our kids to read, we take a powerful step toward the future of our community. Help them understand that. By saying yes to education and graduation, they say yes to life. That's from Smile Great, where they say service isn't just a courtesy, it's a commitment. For more information, call 630-673-7111. That's 630-673-7111 for Smile Great at 9902 Roosevelt Road in Westchester. Ray Rich, personal trainer, would like to remind listeners that readers are leaders and education in the home is every bit as important as in school. When we encourage our kids to read, we take a powerful step toward the future of our community. Help them understand that. By saying yes to education and graduation, they say yes to life. That's from Ray Rich, personal trainer, where they say service isn't just a courtesy, it's a commitment. For more information, call 312-684-0868. That's 312-684-0868 for Ray Rich, personal trainer in Chicago.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right. Thank you, David Jennings. It is 12:08. in the morning, so that means it's Sunday already, Lisa. Lisa's yawning over here. I caught you yawning, Lisa.
Yeah, prove it,
Am I boring you?
Well, you do, but the radio shows don't.
All right, I think I'm boring Lisa over. Hopefully I'm not boring our listeners.
No.
We don't want to do that.
They stay up late for these radio shows.
Listen to the shows. All right, this hour, we are going to salute a great man, Jerry Lewis, and we're also going to salute a great woman, in Debbie Reynolds, and she is the guest on the Martin and Lewis show. We're going to play that in just a few minutes. You know, also today, Lisa, I learned that my good pal Shelley Berman passed away.
I didn't know you were close
man.
With him.
Yeah, he was a great. He was in my audio Bible. He was in a bunch of Twilight Zones for me that I directed him in. What a great guy. He was so much fun. He was hilarious. Mm-hmm. This guy could make you laugh like constantly. He was amazing. What a great guy. Sorry to see. I don't think he did any radio shows, though, so I'm not sure if we'll be able to do any kind of a salute to him with radio programs. But he did a lot of recorded albums, comedy albums. So maybe next week we'll try to play a little something. Yeah, Shelley Berman passed away. He was in a bunch of my Twilight Zone radio shows. And he was actually he was in an original Twilight, at least one Twilight Zone television show that I know of.
Wow.
But he did a different show for me, you know, on radio. But he was in my Bible project and just a great guy. Anyway, and so was Jerry Lewis. He passed away, and we will have a Martin and Lewis show in this hour for you. It's all brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming spy movie, Kingsman: The Golden Circle, the sequel to the 2014 film, Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Oh, that was such a good movie, original. I can't wait to see this.
And you're going to like this one.
Yeah.
And the winner gets two tickets to the 39 Steps, which is playing at the Mackininch Arts Center in Glen Ellen.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor was the star of Magic Mike.
Women, money, and a good time.
Yeah. Hey.
That's it, right?
And, I was in this movie, too, in this Magic Mike movie. I was
right?
One of the dancers in this movie, too. Did you know that, Lisa?
I must have missed that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me and I'm trying to think what scenes. I was in all the scenes with
this
Channing.
What?
I was. Oh, I shouldn't say that, really. But I think we've got a. I messed up. I messed up, Lisa.
Is
all
this
right, 312-981-7200. Call us with the answer. We'll be right back.
We are back. We are playing our award-winning game, Celebrity Scoop. Let's play it again.
Women, money, and a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Great, great. Good to hear from you. Who is that fine-looking actor?
That man would be Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum is right. And I was just thinking.
And he and I starred Magic Mike.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, really?
It was probably hard to tell the two of them apart because they actually look so similar.
I doubled for Channing in the in the scenes where he was dancing.
Yeah, I could see that.
You do a lot of weightlifting then.
Yes, I do. You better believe it. I work out, Michael. Okay.
Michael, right. you are definitely a winner. You have won two tickets to the 39 Steps. It's playing September 7th through October 8th at the Mackininch Arts Center in Glen Ellen. Of course, this is the Buffalo Theater Ensemble production. It's based on Alfred Hitchcock's Thriller, and it should be great. It's got 50 characters and 4 actors, so it should be a great time. You can get tickets at themac.org. So congratulations.
All right. Thank you very much.
And thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thanks,
Take
Michael.
Care.
All right, thanks. Lisa, you have one live read, and then we can get
All
into the
righty,
show.
All right. 4 over 4 Printing Corp reminds listeners that readers are leaders, and education in the home is every bit as important as in school. When we encourage our kids to read, we take a powerful step towards the future of our community. Help them understand that. By saying yes to education and graduation, they say yes to life. That's from 4 over 4 Printing Corp, where service is their commitment. They're enthusiastic printers of marketing materials and home home of the $25 business cards. Call 773-941-8845. That's 773-941-8845 for 4 over 4 Printing Corp in Chicago.
All right. We lost a great talent this year. Just a couple of weeks ago, we lost Jerry Lewis. And a few months ago, we lost a great talented actress, Debbie Reynolds. You will hear her on this episode of the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Let's go back to May 26th, 1953. A salute to Jerry Lewis here on the Martin and Lewis Show.
Transcribe.
The Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to bring you our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Thank you. Thank you and hi there, everyone. My personal screwball, Jerry Lewis, will soon be here to bat out the laughs. So in the meantime, I'll just step up and take a swing at a song. Now, come on, Richard, pour over a fast one.
La, 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 la.
Pesce stocche baccala.
Ba, 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 ba.
You're my pasta fazzoli. Ever you look, em, I see. I look, you look, we see each other. And what do I see when I look, you look? I see if we like each other. Oh, you make it the cook, I make it the sweep. We keep it the house together. We'll have her the kids, a dozen of kids, and maybe a dozen or more. So let's go on the merry-go-round. I start to go round it together. I catch you the ring to put on your finger. We have the fun of galore. Then you look, em, I see. I look, you look, we see each other. And what do you see when you look, em, I see? You see that we like each other.
La, 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 la.
Pesce stocche baccala.
Ba, 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 ba.
You're my pasta fazzul. Go on the bigger the slide and make it the slide it down. We make it the wood, it feels so good. When we reach the ground, then you look, em, I see. I look, you look, we see each other. And what do you see when you look, em, I see? You see that we like each other.
La, 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 la.
Pesce stocche baccala.
Ba, 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 ba.
You're my pasta fazzul. And now, before we go any further... Hey, Fenneman, what's all that racket about?
Oh, it's the police, Dean. Somebody just escaped from a county prison.
An escaped prison? I wonder who it could be.
Hide me, Booby, hide me.
Well, great land of Goshen, it's Jerry Lewis. Well, Jerry, now don't tell me that you're the one the police are after.
Yes, they think I'm crazy. I just escaped from Tehachapi.
Tehachapi? Well, that's a prison full of women.
Full of women? Then I must be crazy.
Oh, I don't get this at all, Jerry. What were you sent to prison for in the first place?
Reckless driving. I got 6 months for driving across a white line.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You can't get 6 months for driving across a white line.
On a tennis court?
Well, that's different.
Yeah, and another year for driving through two red lights.
A year is rather severe punishment for driving through two red lights.
On the back of a bus?
Oh. Oh, man, you had a real crazy busy day.
Oh, I sure have. Then I made a quick left turn, and I got 6 months for driving behind a motorcycle cop all the way to Santa Monica.
Now, that is ridiculous. Well, why would you want to follow a cop all the way to Santa Monica?
He was on my bumper.
Oh. Well, even with all those traffic violations, Jerry, I can't understand why a judge would send you to a place like the Hatchby.
He said if I'm going to drive like a woman, I'm going to be treated like a woman.
But you couldn't stand it in prison, so you escaped, huh?
Oh, yeah, boy.
I just couldn't go through life being convict number 63482.
Uh-huh.
9137. 86912. 4933.
Jerry.
7.
Thank goodness.
Junior.
Junior?
Yeah, I was named after Dad. Poor Dad. Oh, poor Dad. Oh, I was named after Dad. Oh, poor Dad. Oh, Dad was poor. Well, they sent him to prison for something he didn't do.
What didn't he do?
He didn't pay his income tax.
Jerry, the Hatchby is a very well-guarded prison. How did you manage to escape from your cell?
I was a clever, clever one. Why, all week I didn't shave. And then last night, when the guards weren't looking, I stuck my head out of the window.
Yeah?
And climbed down my beard.
Oh, that was quick think.
There I was, halfway down my beard. I had gotten as far as my Adam's apple when suddenly they caught me.
Then I guess it was on the next attempt that you finally made good your escape.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It was during the prison baseball game. It was the ninth inning. The score was tied. Finally, it was my turn to bat. This was my big chance.
What did you do?
I'll tell you.
All right.
I disguised myself as a ball and hit myself over the fence.
Jerry, listen to me. You must go back to serve out your term.
I can't. Never, 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 never.
But Jerry.
Please, Dean, there's one more never.
I'm sorry, I forgot to count.
They'll put me in solitary again with nobody to talk to but Francine.
Who's Francine?
A mouse.
A mouse? Well, there must be a way of getting her out of there.
Impossible. Francine's a lifer.
Well, anyhow, you must give yourself up, even if it does mean solitary confinement.
Dean, you don't know what solitary means. Nothing to eat but bread, water, cheese.
Cheese? Where'd you get the cheese?
Francine has friends on the outside.
Oh!
If I can spring Francine, maybe we can put her in our act, huh?
Put her in our act? Jerry, this isn't an animal act.
Don't say that, Dino. I love aminals, especially mouses, fishes, and crocodiles. They understand me.
Well, that figures.
Yeah, and I understand them. For instance, never frown at a mouse, never cry at a fish, and never, never smile at a crocodile.
Which, if you don't already know, is Jerry's latest recording.
Never smile at a crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with a crocodile. Don't be taken in by his welcome grin. He's imagining how well you'd fit within his skin. Oh, never smile at a crocodile. Never tip your hat and stop to talk a while. Never run, walk away, say goodnight, not good day. Clear the aisle and never smile at Mr. Crocodile. You may very well be well-bred, lots of etiquette in your head, but there's always some special case, time or place to forget etiquette. For instance, never smile at a crocodile. No, you can't get friendly with a crocodile. Don't be taken in by his welcome grin. He's imagining how well you'd fit within his skin. Never smile at a crocodile. Never tip your hat. Stop to talk a while. Don't be rude. Never mock. Throw a kiss, not a rock. Clear the aisle and never smile at Mr. Crocodile. Never smile at a crocodile. Never tip your hat and stop to talk a while. Don't be rude, never mock. Throw a kiss, not a rock. Clear the aisle and never smile at Mr. Crocodile.
You know, friends, there's an old saying that goes, a fool and his money are soon parted. But according to modern songwriters, it's been changed to, a fool and his honey are soon parted. And here's their musical story about a fool in love.
Pardon
sentimental when we say goodbye. Don't be angry with me should I cry. When you're gone, yet I'll dream a little dream as years go by. Now and then there's a fool such as I. Now and then there's a fool such as I am over you. You taught me how to love, and now you say that we are through. I'm a fool, but I love you, dear, until the day I die. Now and then there's a fool such as I.
That's the first portion of the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show from May 26, 1953. Their special guest is Debbie Reynolds. You'll hear her on the second half of this show coming your way in just a little bit.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
4 over 4 Printing Corporation reminds listeners that readers are leaders and education in the home is every bit as important as in school. When we encourage our kids to read, we take a powerful step toward the future of our community. Help them understand that. By saying yes to education and graduation, they say yes to life. That's from 4 over 4 Printing Corporation, where service is their commitment. They are enthusiastic printers of marketing materials and home of the $25 business cards. Call 773-941-8845. That's 773-941-8845 for 4 over 4 Printing Corporation in Chicago.
Hey, so you know what, Lisa?
I can't imagine.
When we come back here tonight at 11 p.m.,
yes,
we have our 1975 song contest.
We sure do. And, you know, Roger's included in this, and he is just so excited with this contest. He's like chomping at the bit each week to get his song choice in. Right, Roger?
I'm up at 1978 now.
Yeah, he sent me his like top 16 for 19.
Don't confuse me.
I know.
He didn't send it to you.
I'm getting confused too.
No, I'm on it, Roger.
Yeah,
I've got it all down,
so, folks,
and I'm good.
Here's how it works. Lisa, Roger, and I choose our favorite song from a particular year. Now, tonight when we come back here, starting at 11:05. We will have our songs picked out, and all you have to do is attempt to guess what they are by texting in. But again, don't do it until 11:05 p.m. tonight. So the number to text in, 312-981-7200. Lisa picked a song from 1975, so did I, and so did Roger. And if you identify what that song is, you will win a Twilight Zone CD set. Right?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, we
yeah,
have
a lot of
fun choosing.
When I have to go to the post office and wrap these things and write the addresses.
Wow,
and
that's
tape
a lot
them
of work there.
And stamp them.
I'm looking for my real small violin.
Yeah. That's a lot of work, but you know what? It shows how much you care about your listeners.
Yeah.
So stop complaining.
I really do care about them.
I know you do.
And I want them to enjoy the Twilight Zone CDs, but I go to the post office.
I know you do. It's a lot of work.
Wrap them with the tape. Today, in fact, I stopped at Ace Hardware and bought tape because I was out of tape.
Wow, Carl. You know? You did it all by yourself, huh?
I pulled my car over with their Ace Hardware.
You got out of the car, closed the door, and everything.
Everything.
Actually, he whistled for a clerk from inside to come out.
Right, to come out and bring it to him, right? I know. I could see that, too.
I drove my Yugo.
Do you know who I am?
Yeah, right.
I drove my Yugo over to Ace Hardware, and Lisa was parked in her Maybach right next to me.
Yeah.
And so difference between her car and my car, about $300,000.
You're too far away from me. You're past my line of where I go. I can't drive that far.
What?
You're too far.
Oh.
You're like way far west by California.
Oh,
I don't go that far.
Yeah. Luckily, Lisa and I live very far away from each other. Otherwise, we'd be bickering with each other.
We just do it on the phone this way.
Yeah, right. It's like every day, like about every other hour of every day.
I did have an emergency call me this week, didn't I? You got a text. Call me.
I did get that text.
Yeah.
Call me ASAP.
Yeah, call me. I don't remember what it was, but
I don't
it was
either.
Some kind of an emergency.
I'm sure it was very important, though.
Probably was, Roger. It's extremely important.
And Roger, you texted me just as Carl and I were going into a meeting.
Yeah,
you're
I know.
Why do you need a meeting?
Yeah, what do you need meetings for?
We actually do. We have a lot of things to talk
stuff
about.
You guys are important. I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Very important.
I have a meeting with a board of directors. There's three. Me, myself, and I.
Right.
Well, that's important, too.
Right. Do you
Roger,
have to schedule
need,
the meetings?
If you need
to
have a meeting.
Mai is just a royal pain in the butt. Never available when we need them. Yeah.
Maybe it's. No. Okay. I'm just not going to say anything.
Save it. All right. We got to get back to Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis with their special guest, Debbie Reynolds.
She flirted with me.
She flirted with you?
Yeah, she gave me the double wink.
What do you mean she gave you the double wink?
She took one look at me and closed both her eyes.
Jerry, our guest star is a very clever little girl.
She must be. When I asked her for a kiss, she talked to me in a foreign language.
A foreign language?
Dean, what is...
I don't dig that answer, Jerry. But I do know that our guest is the answer to the public's demand for new faces and extra fresh talent. Ladies and gentlemen, through the courtesy of MGM, producers of Technicolor picture Young Bess, starring Gene Simmons, Stuart Granger, Deborah Carr, and Charles Lawton, we are happy to present a real 3D girl, the delightful, delicious, and de-lovely Miss Debbie Reynolds. Make yourself at home, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Dean.
Well, you've certainly grown up, Debbie. You've certainly grown up. Jerry, remember how you used to take her to parties when she was a little gal with braces on her teeth?
Yeah, and I was a little boy with braces on my teeth, remember?
Yes, and remember, Jerry, when we played post office and we kissed?
Yeah, and our faces locked bumpers.
Oh, but Debbie, what a change, what a change. You used to have wide spaces between your teeth, but they grew together.
I used to have wide spaces, too, but all my teeth grew together.
So I noticed. Now you only have one big one.
Oh, see here, Miss Reynolds. I may not be captivating or handsome, but when I smile, my whole face lights up.
Debbie, I can't get over how you've changed. You used to have great big freckles on your face.
Well, Jerry's changed, too. He used to have freckles the size of lifesavers.
Well, lots of people have freckles on their face like lifesavers.
Peppermint flavored?
Now that you've grown up, you certainly are dressing sophisticated, Debbie. Jerry, get a load of that gown.
Zowie. Zippity-doo-dah, bo-do-do-dee-o. Wow!
Well, what do you think of it?
I don't like it. Wowie!
Well, after all, Jerry, I'm now a woman. A mature woman.
I knew that the minute I saw you.
Well, how could you tell?
You're wearing a lady's wristwatch.
Yes, sir, boy, that's a dead giveaway.
Come on, the woman, Jerry. Come closer. Closer. Let me hold you tight.
Please, Miss Reynolds. You're bending my Sheriff John badge.
Oh, why don't you stop it, Jerry?
Dean, didn't you ever tell Jerry about the birds and the bees?
I told him so much about the birds and bees, he can't get interested in just girls again.
Well, we should see. Come here, Jerry.
Stand back, Miss Reynolds. Mother says I'm not supposed to think about girls until I'm 21.
Well, how old are you now?
I don't know. On my birthday, she refuses to put candles on the cake.
You give up, Debbie?
No, I'll make him aware of me yet. Jerry, don't fight it. Men were made for women, and women were made for men. They can't change that.
I'm not so sure. I've been reading the political news. Congress is up to something.
Jerry, how can you pass up a chance like this? How can you do this?
Dean, it would be robbing the cradle. She's not old enough.
Oh, yeah? I'm 17, and I'll prove it to you with a kiss.
Dean.
What, Jerry?
She's 18 if she's a day.
Debbie's a mighty attractive gal, Jerry. It wouldn't be such a bad idea if you got married to someone like her.
That's right, Jerry. Now, wouldn't you like to call some girl Mrs. Lewis?
Oh, I couldn't. That's my mother's name.
That's not much of a reason.
Oh, I have another one. It's a darb, a positive darb. My mother married my father, my grandmother married my grandfather, my uncle married my aunt.
Well, what about it?
Don't you realize we Lewises only marry people in the family?
No kidding, Jerry. I think the time has come for you to settle down with a wife of your own.
Jerry, I'd sew for you, wash for you, I'll feed you.
In my very own high chair?
Well, that too.
But I only have a small house. What will happen when the babies come?
Well, Jerry, we can always build extensions to the house. When the first baby comes, we'll add a room. And when the second baby comes, we'll add another room. And as each child is born, we'll add a little more on.
Nothing doing. After a while, we'll have a house full of morons.
They were ahead of me there, boy. It'd be nice having kids, Jerry. Every night Uncle Dino could tell them bedtime stories.
But kids don't go for that stuff anymore.
Yeah, since radio and TV, they want everything with cops and robbers.
That's the way Dino tells his bedtime stories. Say, Fenneman.
Yes, Dino.
Tell him how Dino tells them.
Right, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Debbie Reynolds in a king-size version of that all-time favorite Hansel and Gretel. It's the story of a little boy who disappeared from home, entitled... Look, Ma, no Hansel. The scene opens at police headquarters.
Oh, it's you, Detective Lewis.
Yeah, Chief, I've been checking on a Peter pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her caper.
I see you didn't bring Pete the killer in with you. Did he slip through your fingers?
No, under my feet.
How could he slip under your feet?
I have high arches.
Oh.
Hi, fellas.
Well, it's Policewoman Reynolds. Is there anything new on that Red Riding Hood case?
Yes, Chief. You know, I just came from the lab, and they opened up the wolf and found Grandmother.
Just as I thought, an inside job.
Yeah.
Chief, I just brought Red Riding Hood in yesterday. I had her in the other room for 3 hours.
Will she talk?
I hope not.
That the wolf ate a grandmother burger. Do you have any witnesses to the crime?
Only one. Mother Goose, but she's afraid to talk.
Afraid?
Yeah, Mother Goose is chicken.
Oh!
I'll take it.
You know.
Detective Headquarters, Fairy Tale Division.
Hello, hello, somebody just kidnapped.
Ah! How do you spell that last name again?
Never mind, I got news for you. An hour ago, Hansel and Gretel disappeared.
It's getting worse. Two more kids have disappeared into the forest.
Yeah, I suspect the old witch, the one who makes Eskimo pie.
Well, what's wrong with that? Lots of people make Eskimo pies.
With real Eskimo?
No!
Let's go into the forest and find the witch's cottage and bring her in.
Well, first we must block off all roads so she can't escape.
I'll take care of that. Chief Martin talking. We want all roads leading out of the forest blocked off. Send out a dragnet.
Let's go.
lasted. For 3 hours, we've been in this forest searching for the witch's house.
Yes, searching, searching, always searching.
Never finding.
Always searching.
We're lost, we're lost. We'll never find our way back through this forest.
Ah, don't you worry. I've been leaving breadcrumbs to mark the trail.
But the birds will eat the breadcrumbs.
No, they won't. I hid them where they couldn't be found.
But if you hid them, how will we be able to find them?
We're lost! We'll never find our way back through this forest.
Well, look, there's the witch's house. Look, look, and it's all made of chocolate, and the windows are made of almonds.
Man, dig that crazy Hershey bar.
We must go in and rescue Hansel and Gretel. We must fight crime till there's none left.
Right. Right.
We'll do it if we have to fight till none of us is left.
Right. Right.
You two rush the door on the left.
Right. There ain't no door on the left.
Right.
Look. Hey, look, look there on the floor. A body.
Yeah, stretched out in midair. Lewis, how do you figure?
Simple. He was beaten to death with a hammock.
Way to go.
And you two are going the same way.
Do you mean that you're the one who cooks people for dinner?
Yes, I'm the giant.
The giant is in Jack the Beanstalk.
How do you like that? I'm in the wrong story.
Before turning to our old favorite song spot, I'd like to tell all our wonderful, faithful fans that we'll be looking at them through their TV sets this coming Sunday over NBC Television Network. Now I'm going to take another good look at Debbie Reynolds and sing, I Only Have Eyes for You.
Other stars are tonight. I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear, or the moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you. Garden, or on a crowded avenue, you are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people go by, but they all disappear from you, and I only have eyes for you.
Cool, Dean. Really cool. You know, all of us listen to your records down at the beach house.
Well, thanks, Debbie. Say, how about inviting Jerry and me down to the beach some Sunday?
Oh, that's not for me. I went for a dip in the ocean and I couldn't get back to shore for hours.
Why, Jerry? Riptide?
No, rip trunks.
Oh.
Don't let Jerry kid you, Debbie. He doesn't want to go because he can't swim.
Dean Martin, you have said an untrue. Why, I learned to swim the day I was born.
You learned to swim the day you were born?
I had to. My father took me down to the river in a burlap bag.
Oh, Jerry, please. Well, we'll kind of drop in on you for a visit sometime soon, Debbie, and thanks for dropping in on us.
Yes, it was a real, real pleasure to have you, and it was very sweet of you to come and join in the fun. Thank you, Debbie.
Well, thank you, Dean and Jerry. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Debbie.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And this is Jerry Lewis saying good night, everybody.
God bless y'all.
Transcribed, the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, produced and directed by Dick Mack, written by Arthur Phillips and Austin Kalin, with music prepared and conducted by Dick Stabile. And this is George Fenneman reminding you to listen to Dragnet Sunday night on the same NBC station.
Tonight, visit Fibber, McGee, and Molly on NBC.
All right, that's the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show from May 26th. 1953, their special guest, Debbie Reynolds. A salute to Jerry Lewis. We lost a great icon, a comedic icon, terrific producer, director, actor. And also we lost Debbie Reynolds several months ago, and she was on this show. So kind of a double salute to those two great actor and actress. All right, let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. We've had a lot of people text us in on the line asking what that website was to subscribe to the Nostalgia Digest. So once again, folks, we are now part of the Nostalgia Digest, which is Steve Darnell's publication. And it's a 64-page magazine filled with articles about the golden age of radio, television, movies, and music. And the Nostalgia Digest now carries our WGN Radio Theater broadcast schedule. Now, this magazine comes out four times a year, so we have 3 months posted in the current issue of Nostalgia Digest, and we will be in every issue from now on. Now, here is the deal. A one-year subscription to Nostalgia Digest, four big issues, because there's 64 pages each issue, is only $17. But if you subscribe for 2 years, you're going to get 8 issues for only $30, so a little savings there per year. And if you mention WGN when ordering, you will receive a 4-CD set of the Twilight Zone radio dramas, a $27.99 value, absolutely free. Just go to nostalgiadigest.com, order a 2-year subscription, and write WGN in the ordering instructions on the website, and you'll receive your Twilight Zone CDs with your very first issue. That's nostalgiadigest.com. I think you'll really love this magazine. Lisa was looking through this. You get it at your chiropractor's office. It's in your chiropractor's office, huh?
Well, I, yeah.
Or therapist's office, right?
Yeah, he's a...
Lisa needs a lot of therapy.
No, when I hurt my arm, I went to the physical therapist for about 6 weeks. I'm great now.
And he has it in there, huh?
Yeah, I noticed the magazine, and I immediately called you up and said this Nostalgia Digest.
It's a great magazine.
It's just a perfect partner for us.
Look at this. It has this... I'm looking at the article here, or the magazine, the latest issue, which is the autumn 2017 issue. And they have a whole article about Inner Sanctum. They have an article about Otto Preminger. They have an article about Charlie Chaplin. They have an article about Elliot Lewis. Then they have Steve Darnell's whole schedule for his Those Were the Days radio show. And then they have our WGN schedule for the WGN Radio Theater. It's just a great magazine, and if you want to learn more about it, just go to nostalgiadigest.com. All right, in our next hour, hour three of the WGN Radio Theater, we will have a Bob Hope episode of the Screen Directors Playhouse. You won't want to miss that.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it is hour three. Thanks for staying up late with us. It's 1:08 in the morning. Thank you, Roger Badish. And in this hour, Bob Hope stars in a radio adaptation of his hit comedy film, The Ghost Breakers. And that is heard on the screen, Director's Playhouse from 1949. Don't forget, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. That's the number to call and text. Actually win some Twilight Zone CDs on our contest, and to text in if you have any questions for Lisa and I. Right, Lisa?
Whatever you say, whatever you're always right.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Shante, can you record that for me, what she just said, and send it to me on a loop? I would like to have it over and over and over.
There was no sarcasm in that at all.
Yeah, it sounded like you actually meant what you said.
I didn't.
So it'd be like, you are always right. You are always right.
In your brain, that's how you took it. That's not how it was said.
I would like to have that. It would put me right to sleep really nice. You know, when you're supposed to think of nice thoughts when you fall asleep.
That's what would put you to sleep?
I would play that over and over, put me right to sleep.
All right. Okay.
So this hour, as every hour, it's brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming computer animated film, The Lego Ninjago Movie, about six teenagers who become ninja heroes at night.
All right.
Ooh. And the winner gets a Twilight Zone 4 CD set.
Nice. Very good. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor always played Prince on Saturday Night Live.
What's up, y'all? You got spring fever? Let me take your temperature. Come on out, Beyonce.
All right, who is that great actor? 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after these words.
We're back. We're playing Celebrity Scoop. We're going to play that movie clip again.
What's up, y'all? You got spring fever? Let me take your temperature. Come on out, Beyonce.
And Shante took a call off air, and we found out that Chuck knew who that was. Who was that, Carl?
Oh, that is Fred Armisen.
Fred Armisen, who we
all
know.
I love Fred Armisen.
Who we all know from Saturday Night Live. He's great. And Chuck has won a Twilight Zone 4 CD set,
yeah,
which you produced and yeah, Stacey Keach hosts. And they are wonderful. And I know a lot of people are trying to win them, especially for our music contest, which
you know
we
what?
Do every Sunday.
We should mention this, that there are three free shows people can download by just going to TwilightZoneRadio.com. Three shows. They can just digitally download them. They're free. TwilightZoneRadio.com.
And again, for the music competition, you actually receive the CDs,
yeah,
in a set, and we'll be playing that tonight. So brush up on your 1975 top Billboard hits.
Yeah.
Of course, my song is the best one, but other than that, they're all good songs, but mine, of course, is the best one.
I don't remember what yours was again.
You don't remember, do
no,
you?
No, tell me off.
I won't
tell
you. Don't worry. I won't say it like now
remember.
Like you would.
I don't remember. I'm getting old, Lisa.
I know.
I'm getting old.
Tell everybody the troubles you had this
week.
This
is the weirdest thing, folks, and this is honest.
This is true because he keeps telling me about this.
This week, I spilled 2 cups of coffee, and today I spilled an iced tea. Just knocked it over and went all over my desk.
Well, I'm going to be sure to invite you over to my house real soon.
Yeah. And then I was at my doctor's office for my shoulder, and I walked in, I put the cup down, and I went to shake his hand, and boom, poured it all
You've
over his office.
You've got a way he of saying hello.
Like, he was probably like, this
get this
idiot,
guy out of here.
Get this dummy out of here.
Dummy.
And then I spilled one, and then, I don't know, not too long ago, I spilled one at the car dealer. Remember I was telling you,
right,
went up to Kenosha? I spilled coffee all over his desk. Don't invite me over and
make me a cup
of coffee.
We weren't going to.
Unless you're
going to
put it in, you know, with the
cover.
Top.
Maybe a little straw and a cover.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm super
you know
clumsy
what?
Lately.
A sippy cup is good
sippy
for that.
Sippy cup would be good, yeah.
Yeah, I should get you that.
Yeah, give me a sippy cup.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I'll drink my coffee.
That'd be perfect.
Thanks, Lisa.
Sure.
You're always thinking about me.
Oh, I know.
I appreciate that very much. All right. It is time now for the Screen Director's Playhouse. Now, leading stars of Hollywood would perform in radio adaptations of their popular movies. But on this show, it had the added element of director participation. The director of the film would introduce the movie and make a curtain call, a chat with the stars. Now, the directors included Alfred Hitchcock, John Ford, Frank Capra, Billy Wilder, to name a few. This series came to radio in 1949, lasted till 1951, And on this particular episode from 1949, Bob Hope stepped before the NBC microphones to star in a radio adaptation of his film, The Ghost Breakers. Now, listen to the supporting cast on this. Sheldon Leonard, who I interviewed, Shirley Mitchell, who I interviewed, and June Foray, who I interviewed. June Foray just passed away.
Yes, I know.
Three people that I've interviewed are in this particular episode. And George Marshall, the director of the film, makes a curtain call on this and introduces the film. So you'll enjoy this. Here's part one now of The Ghost Breakers on the screen, Director's Playhouse.
From Hollywood, the NBC Theater presents... Director George Marshall, star Bob Hope. The Hollywood Screen Directors present a comedy of terrors, The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope in his original role and introducing the director of the film, George Marshall. Our guest screen director tonight might be said to have some small knowledge of motion pictures. He's been an extra, stunt man, prop boy, actor, film editor, cameraman, and assistant director. And 34 years ago, he launched his brilliant career as a director of some 385 films. We proudly present the president of the Screen Directors Guild and the director of such fine entertainment as Taproots, The Perils of Pauline, Destry Rides Again, and tonight's story, The Ghost Breakers. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. George Marshall.
Thank you very much. When we made The Ghost Breakers, the set bore a pretty close resemblance to a case of galloping nightmares. Included in our chamber of horrors were such things as ghosts, bats, zombies, witches, and Bob Hope. Which you can imagine is probably one of the screwiest parlays on record. And here's the result. And on the air for the first time, The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope as Larry Lawrence and Shirley Mitchell as Mary Carter.
If ever a name struck terror into the heart of the underworld, it's the name of Larry Lawrence, intrepid radio reporter and crime buster. Yet only his closest friends know that behind his simple, vacant, foolish smile hides the real Larry Lawrence, simple, vacant, and foolish. We find him now in his office preparing a last thrill-loaded broadcast before leaving on his vacation.
Oh, so you clam up on Larry Lawrence, huh? Come on, open up. Open up, I say, or I'll drill a hole clear through you. Okay, you asked for it. Take this. And this. And this.
Is there something wrong, Mr. Lawrence?
Yeah, I can't get this window open.
Here, let me try.
It's no use, Miss Coles. It's stuck. I'm a strong man, but...
There you are.
Miss Coles, I thought I warned you about weightlifting on office hours.
There's a Miss Mary Carter to see you, Mr. Lawrence.
Miss Carter? Is she a redhead or are you wasting my time? You know, I'm due on the air in 15 minutes and I'm waiting for Raspy Kelly.
Well, she says it's very important, Mr. Lawrence. And she's a blonde.
Oh, then put her in category 7B. I'll see her when I get back from my vacation. And tell her to leave her telephone number and waist measurement.
Mr. Lawrence, please. Please, I'm Mary Carter.
I'm sorry, miss, but I'm working on my secret invention.
A real invention?
Yep, it's a bottle preparation for women who want to get their face lifted.
How does it work?
I mix nitroglycerin with cold cream. That just goes to show how tough a woman has to be when she deals with Larry Lawrence.
Oh, then you're really Larry Lawrence. The brave, strong, dashing Larry Lawrence I've always heard about.
Well, what are you waiting for, Miss Coles? Go somewhere and flex your muscles. And tell me when Raspy Kelly comes in.
Yes, Mr. Lawrence. Mr. Lawrence, I need your help.
Ah, yes, don't you all. Poor girl. But I'm dated up for the next month. Perhaps someday in May, around apple blossom time.
You don't understand. Mr. Lawrence, you're famous as a crime breaker and gang breaker.
And there was that wonderful week in Duluth when I was a home breaker.
Now I want to purchase your services. I want you to become a ghost breaker.
Ghost breaker? I'm sorry, but the only spirits I mess around with come equipped with olives, not shrouds.
I'm serious, Mr. Lawrence. I've inherited an island off the coast of Cuba, Black Island. And there's a castle on it called Castillo Maldito.
Oh, sure, I've heard of that. Isn't that where Cougat raises little maracas? Now, Miss Carter, you're not going to tell me that castle is haunted.
Well, this afternoon, the deed was turned over to me by a Senor Parada. He told me that no one who ever eats dinner in the castle ever lives until breakfast.
You mean there's no post-toasties because of the ghosties?
A ghost. Senor Parada says it's the ghost of Don Santiago, my great-great-grandfather. That's why I'm afraid, Mr. Lawrence. Now, if you'll come with me to Castillo Maldito, I'll see that your time is well paid for.
Yeah, but why let a few ghost rumors frighten you? After all, what's a ghost? Just a Ku Klux that's lost his clan. What do you need me for?
Here, I received this card in the mail today.
Let's see. Death waits for you at Black Island. Well, here's your card, Miss Carter. Thank you and good night.
You mean you're afraid? You, Larry Lawrence?
Afraid? Me? Listen, I'm one of the bravest gumshoes in the business.
Well, you're acting like a child.
Okay, so I'm one of the bravest bubblegum shoes in the business. It's just that I don't like spirits to send fan mail. And besides, tomorrow I'll be in the mountains, so take your ghost postage to somebody else. Ah, that mountain air, that's the life. You go to the window at 6 o'clock in the morning, open it, climb in, and go to bed.
Mr. Kelly is here, Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, fine. I'll see him right away. Miss Carter, If you want an expert in things that go boo, 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 I've got a friend named Crosby. Why don't you see him?
No one else will do, Mr. Lawrence. I'm sailing for Cuba tonight on the Rexitania. If you change your mind, I'll be waiting for you in my stateroom.
Hiya, Larry. What do you say?
Well, hello, Raspy. Say, you sound better. Did you get the frog in your throat a fresh lily pad?
I got another Frenchy Duval story for you. It's a killer. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, and so is Frenchy Duval. Say, does he know you're giving me these stories?
Sure, he loves it. Good publicity.
I know. I plug him or he plugs me. What have you got?
Frenchy has himself a new racket. Here's how it works.
And now, folks, here's a last-minute scoop. Frenchy Duval has a nice new racket, baby laundries. You know the kind I mean, with a slogan. This is the little one's laundromat. Frenchy discovered that there were about 2,000 of them in the state all making money. Without even telling his closest pals, he moved in and three-cornered the market. And so today, Frenchy is really cleaning up the hard way. This is Larry Lawrence saying goodnight.
Larry Lawrence will return to the air 2 weeks from tonight with more Lowdown on the Underworld. Now, a word about Cronin's coffee.
Well, that's that. One more week on the air without a rest, and I'd begin to look like Bob Hope.
Mr. Lawrence.
Oh, hello, Miss Cole. Did you hear the broadcast? Wasn't I great? Wasn't I terrific?
Frenchy Duval is on the phone.
Wasn't I just leaving? Wonder if he's sore. Courage, Camille. Hello, Frenchy. What's new?
Got a tip for you, Larry boy.
Shoot. I had to open my big mouth. What was that?
That was Raspy Kelly saying goodbye.
Raspy Kelly? But you're not mad at me, are you, Frenchy?
Oh, no. I told you, I got a tip for you. Here, get this. A Satan radio reporter was found in a ditch riddled with bullets.
Yeah? When did it happen?
Probably tomorrow.
Wow, that's what I call hot news. Tell me, hey, Frenchy. Oh, not me, not little old Larry. I'm
gonna put somebody on the spot, boy.
Miss Coles, hand me that bottle of spot remover.
Hey, Lawrence, I'm taking care of you myself, personally.
Oh, Frenchy. Frenchy boy, Speak to me. Hello, Mort. Come to think of it, hello, mortician. Why did I bother paying this year's income tax?
Where are you going?
Cuba. Miss Coles, when it comes to ghosts, I'd rather see one than be one.
Larry, I'm so glad you decided to come.
Some stateroom you got on the ship. You ought to see mine. It's so far down, I can use a propeller to whip up my shaving cream. Say, did you see President Truman in swimming when we passed Key West?
No. Which one was he?
The one in evening clothes.
Yes?
Radiogram for you, miss. And there's one for Mr. Lawrence, too.
Oh, thank you, Stuart.
Well, who'd know I was aboard?
Well, here's your telegram.
Well, isn't that nice? Mine must be from the Cuban Chamber of Commerce.
What does it say?
See Cuba and die. Hey, wait a minute. It's signed Frenchie Duval. Stop the ship, man overboard. Stop the ship. Guzzle the mainsail. Box the cockpit.
Larry, please.
What?
Larry, look at my telegram.
What are you excited about? It just says, an empty coffin waits on Black Island. Gee, does Pierce Brothers know about this? You think we should make the one friendly call that covers all?
I'm scared.
And it's signed, Senor Muertes.
Muerte. In Spanish, that means death.
I know his brother, rigor mortis. You poor kid, you really are in trouble, aren't you?
I'd be in a lot more trouble without you to help me.
Yeah, I'm brave. Two-gun Larry Lawrence. When I find out who's threatening you, I'll break him in two and use half in the castle and half in the bathroom. Sure, that's me. Courage on the loose. Only it isn't so.
What do you mean, Larry?
Well, I'm running away from myself, from some gangsters in New York.
Oh, I didn't know.
Look, Mary, we're both in trouble. Let's play it together, huh?
Mm.
You stick by me, and I'll stick by me, too. Seriously, Mary, I... You know, you're beautiful.
I'm frightened.
Hello?
Hello? This is Senor Parada.
Mary, it's Parada, the guy you were telling me about.
Who is this speaking?
Never mind about me. What's the idea of scaring Miss Carter with all that ghost stuff?
Ghost? I'm sorry. But I must have the wrong stateroom.
Hello. Hello, Senor Parada.
Parada? That's strange. I wonder why he's on board.
Yes?
Oh, I noticed Miss Carter's name on the passenger list. Is she here?
Why, yes, I'm Miss Carter. Who are you? Why,
that's
you're...
That's right, Jeff Montgomery. May I come in?
Oh, please do.
We met at the store club a few weeks ago.
Yes, of course. Mr. Montgomery, this is Mr. Lawrence.
You're traveling to Cuba, Mr. Montgomery?
Yes, my home's in Havana.
Oh, we're going to Havana, too. And then on to Castillo Maldito on Black Island.
Say, I'd heard that Jinx was wished off on... Not you.
Yeah, we won two glorious weeks there on Ladies Be Seated.
That place is evil. There's the legends about the ghosts. And there's said to be a zombie on the island. The son of a native woman who looks after the place.
Zombie?
Yes. Some voodoo priest seemed to have the power to bring the dead back to life. You see them once in a while walking around with despondent, hopeless, staring eyes.
You mean like Republicans?
Please be careful, Miss Carter. If you insist on going to Black Island, be sure you go well protected.
Well, what do I look like, an egg beater? There's nothing on that island but ghosts, evil spirits, and zombies. Ghosts, evil spirits, and zombies. When's the next boat back to New York?
But what about Frenchie Duval?
Him. He's just trying to kill me, that's all. Between Black Island and Frenchie Duval, I'll take...
Yes, Larry.
I'll take...
Darling.
Black Island, here I come.
That's the first portion of The Ghost Breakers on the Screen Directors Playhouse, starring Bob Hope. More after this.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
WGN Radio and WGN TV have partnered with the American Red Cross to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. Text Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 or go to redcross.org to donate more.
All right, let's get back now to The Ghost Breakers starring Bob Hope on the Screen Directors Playhouse.
You are listening to the Hollywood Screen Directors presentation of The Ghost Breakers, starring Bob Hope with Shirley Mitchell. And introducing the director of the film, George Marshall.
Black Island, its silhouette broken by the menacing outline of Castillo Maldito against the night sky. And approaching the island, a small rowboat carrying Larry Lawrence and Mary Carter.
Boy, no wonder the native boatmen won't come here at night. Look at the place. What a ruin. Looks like CBS pulled a raid on it.
Just a few more strokes, Larry. We're almost there.
I've been hauling on these oars so long that my blisters are forming pyramid clubs.
Here's the dock.
Here. Let me help you out.
Oh, thank you.
There. Lafayette, we are here. I think Lafayette's here, too.
It's probably the old woman caretaker that Jeff told us about. She may be just trying to scare us.
She's wasting her time. We're scared already. Uh-oh. There she is, Mother Zombie.
The moon has risen. My son is walking. The zombie walks.
Taxi strike, huh?
Go away. Go away, or zombie get you. What do you want?
Could we interest you in a subscription to Weird Stories magazine?
This is my island now. I've inherited the Castle Maldito.
No, my island.
Sounds like Vaughn Monroe's mother. Gee, great night for a murder.
Who told you?
Oh, I just... Huh? I was going to get the laugh, you know?
You look for other men?
What?
One man come in big plane. Other men come in boats. Two boats.
Tell me, does the Greyhound bus make a rest stop here?
Go! I get zombie!
Give my regards to Boris Karloff. Come on, let's get into the castle. Hand me the flashlight, Mary. There.
Oh, golly, what a place. I wonder who lived here last.
Must have been Jolson. The front porch is down on his knees.
Larry. Larry, look over there. Turn your flashlight to the left.
A suitcase.
It's almost new. One of the people who came to the island must have left it here.
Let's see the initials. F.D.
Frenchie Duval.
Frenchie, come on, let's get out of here.
Lawrence, stop, I'll shoot.
There he is.
Put out the light.
Okay, here, behind this post.
Thought you'd get away from Frenchie Duval, did you? Where are you, Lawrence? Come out.
I'm not here, I'm over there. Let's go. Here, in this room. Well, now we know who one of our guests was. What about the other two, huh?
Yes.
I don't know, but I think I could spit and hit one of them.
Oh, it's just the wind.
If it is, it's the first time I ever heard a breeze with adenoids.
You strangers. I kill strangers.
Oh, Larry, it's the zombie. It's the living dead. I never saw anything like it.
You never played Philadelphia.
Strangers, die.
Hey, strangers, that's us.
Zombie, kill.
Sorry, but I gotta see your union card.
Oh. Larry, you stunned him with your flashlight.
Help me drag him into the closet.
Okay. Oh,
And you told me you were a coward.
Yeah, what do you know? I'm brave. Hey, Zom. Everything okay?
Voy a matar, canalla, sinvergüenza.
What did he say?
He said, with men who know their castles best, it's zombies 2-1. Come on, let's see what else is going on in Nightmare Alley. If this is a short interlude of organ music, let's switch to another station.
Come on, Larry. Let's find out who's playing that organ. The organ. There it is.
Yeah, and those things around it are either coffins or boxes of king-size Cuban cigars. Nobody here now. Wonder who was playing it.
Playing by itself. I don't like it.
Petrillo won't like it either. Maybe somebody put a nickel in it.
There's no one there.
Why, that's ridiculous. Only a ghost could do that, and there's no such thing. If there really are ghosts, I'd lose my mind. I'd end up in the snake pit. Move over, Olivia. Hey, do you see what I see?
On the organ bench. It's coming out of thin air.
Too many reducing tablets.
Larry, it's a ghost.
Man, marching man, find the key and marching man.
Maybe they're drafting again. What's he talking about?
I don't know. Ask him.
You ask him. I feel too ghastly to be ghostly.
Marching man, the key. Is marching man.
Look, it's getting up.
And floating toward that empty coffin.
It's getting in.
Gee, that ghost gave some performance.
Yeah? Well, wait till you see me in Hamlet.
Come on. I'm going to find out what's really in that box.
Look, on the side, there's a plate. Why, it's the coffin of Don Santiago, my ancestor who built the castle.
Let's get the lid up.
Larry, there's nothing but a skeleton.
Yeah, old man Moe sure is dead.
Larry, I think he was trying to tell me something. Something about the marching men. He wants me to look for something.
Look, if he forgot anything when he left, there's no sense looking for it now. Let's go. Don't forget that Frenchie Duval is looking for us, and there's two other characters around somewhere.
Larry, turn your flashlight over there, above the organ. Isn't that an inscription?
Can you make it out?
I think, yes, let me see. God's treasures in abundance lie, something heavenly key before they die.
There's more to this than meets the eye.
The ghost, it said something about a key, Larry.
How can we look for a key? We haven't even got a keyhole.
Well, keys... keys could mean music.
Look, let's keep moving around. If we stay in one spot, we're dead. Dead. I wonder who thought up that expression.
The marching men must have something to do with it.
We'll ask them on the 4th of July. Come on.
Larry, there, on the wall. Aren't those marching men?
Those little figures carved into the stone?
Hmm. Now, if I draw a horizontal line through this marching man, and one parallel to it through this one, and another one, and two more.
This is a fine time to start playing tic-tac-toe.
No, don't you see? It becomes a bar of music. That's what the ghost was trying to tell us. The key is a chord on this organ.
Mary, keep playing. Look, Don Santiago's coffin. It's shifting off its base, and I don't feel so good myself. Keep playing. Higher, higher. That's enough. Look.
It's a secret opening.
Yeah.
With a flight of stairs.
There's nothing down there but some dusty old dungeons. Let Jack Benny keep his money. Come on.
Larry, you go first.
Okay. But remember, I'm leadoff man on the way back. Say, there's a lantern down here.
Yes, and railroad tracks, like in a mine.
Yeah, railroad tracks. It reminds me of my hotel room in Scranton. Come on, keep going.
Look out, you'll trip over that rail.
Oh,
did you hurt yourself? What did you land on?
This is a comedy. What do you think? I'm... Mary, look at this.
What is it?
I've seen this stuff before. Silver ore, the real thing. Mary, you're rich.
Congratulations, Miss Carter.
Senor Parada.
So you're Parada. What's the gun for?
You can't get away with it. I'll shoot.
Now listen, Parada.
No, not you. Behind you. Look out!
Larry, it's Jeff. Jeff Montgomery.
Yes, it's Jeff. It's too bad I had to wound you, Parada, but you'll soon be put out of your misery.
Miss Carter, I came here to warn you. He's mad. Insane.
Against the wall. All three of you. I warned you, Mary, but you chose to ignore my messages.
What's this all about?
About a vein of silver as wide as the island. I discovered it, and it's mine. You hear? This mine is mine, and what's mine stays mine.
Thank you, Gertrude Stein. Okay, so it's yours, but let Mary go.
No! Nobody's going to carry any tales out of here.
All right, come on out of there. I got you buckled up. Come on.
Who's that?
Frenchie Deva... It's the police. They've got you trapped, Montgomery.
They'll never get me. Not now. This is mine. They'll have to shoot it out.
You tell them, kid.
Get through. Finish.
Never. Never!
Oh, Larry, they killed each other. Frenchie and Jeff.
I'll match you to see who faints first.
Oh, Larry.
Move over. Stop hogging the floor.
We're on our way, Larry.
And a fond farewell to Cuba. We leave your castle to Mother Zombie and her bouncing baby boy.
Yes. And with Parada taking care of the mine, we'll never have to come back. And now that I'm rich, I'm going to back you in a television show.
Yeah, after all those ghosts, it'd be nice to try out a new medium.
Oh, what in the world will we do with $100 million?
What, Eddie?
What will we do with $100 million?
Well, we can always open another hotel in Texas. Get Dorothy L'Amour to broadcast.
Larry, I still don't understand about the ghost. It must have been real.
No, honey, it was just one of Montgomery's tricks. There's no such things as ghosts. Why didn't we have her sit in the audience?
Next week, the NBC Theater brings you a motion picture romance set against the background of memorable music. The story is Music for Millions, and our star will be June Allison. Oh. And now here again is tonight's star, Bob Hope, and screen director George Marshall.
Tell me, Georgie boy, you used to be a fast man with a set of golf clubs. Do you still linger on the links?
Sorry, Bob, I don't have time to give lessons. Why don't you buy a good book on the game?
Buy one? I wrote one last week in my life's blood on the sixth hole at Palm Springs. There I was, see, George, a four-iron shot from the green. I was standing like
this. You're standing wrong.
Get this, kid, always a director. I'm standing wrong. Who taught you how to play golf, Bobby Jones?
That's right, he did. Who taught you?
Some little Scotch caddy called Crosby. But I don't play with him anymore.
Why not?
Why not? Would you play with a fellow who puts grease on your putter, cheats on his scorecard by making his nines upside down, builds a furrow on the green with an electric shaver so that the ball has to roll into the cup?
For love.
Well, neither will he.
Good night. Good night, Bob. Thanks a lot. Good night, folks.
Good night, Bob Hope and George Marshall. The Ghostbreakers was presented through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures, currently releasing Alias Nick Beale, starring Ray Milland, Audrey Totter, and Thomas Mitchell. Bob Hope will soon be seen in the Paramount picture Sorrowful Jones with Lucille Ball and Mary Jane Saunders. George Marshall's next Paramount release will be My Friend Irma, starring John Lund, Marie Wilson, and Diana Lynn, and NBC's own Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis. Included in tonight's cast were Shirley Mitchell, Donald Morrison, Sheldon Leonard, Jack Edwards, June Foray, Ken Christie, Betty Moran, and Dan Riss. The Ghostbreakers was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Production was under the supervision of Howard Wiley, associate producer Ray Dietrich. Your announcer has been Frank Barton. Listen again next week when the NBC Theater presents...
Screen Director's Assignment, production, music for millions, director Henry Koster, star June Allison.
The NBC Theater came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That's a Screen Director's Playhouse presentation of The Ghostbreakers, starring Bob Hope, along with Shirley Mitchell, Sheldon Leonard, Betty Moran, Dan Riss, Jack Edwards, June Foray, Ken Christie, and Frank Barton. Great episode from April 3rd, 1949. Hope you enjoyed that.